It's the day of departure. Hey, welcome America, coast to coast and around the globe. Day of departure, but apparently the only one who departed today so far is Mike Malloy. Hey, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. In for Mike, I am your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, sitting in tonight for the Malloys who are on their way to the Caribbean. Caribbean. They're going on a cruise. It's a progressive cruise, and they're heading down to, I guess, leaving from Florida. They're going to be gone not just tonight, but all next week, cruising with a bunch of friends of ours, but I wasn't invited. So I'm going to be here, and I'm delighted to be here with you tonight and all next week. We've got huge shows coming in line for you both tonight and already for next week. And of course, with this Egypt situation as it's moving, we're going to be keeping our eyes on it throughout the night, throughout next week. We're going to be talking to experts in the field out there. And as a matter of fact, just before airtime here, we noticed that there are reports of heavy gunfire in Tahrir Square. So we will keep our eyes on that for you. When news breaks, we will deliver it. But right now, glad you can be with us here. Hope you'll stay with us all night long. Day of departure. No, Hosni Mubarak has not left yet, but I'm going to make it my personal mission between now and the time I'm done broadcasting next week on the Malloy Show to rid Egypt of Hosni Mubarak. That's it. He'll be gone by the time we finish up next week. We are, as I say, broadcasting from the left coast here in Los Angeles at the lovely studios of K-Talk AM 1150 in beautiful downtown Burbank, as they say. And our phone number tonight and all next week will be 877-520-1150. Write it down. You're going to want to use it because these are your public airwaves. They do not belong to Rush Limbaugh. Oh, I've got a few words about him in a minute. 877-520-1150. Write it down. That's going to be the number tonight and all next week. Don't use the Malloy's number. Don't bother them. Well, you can bother them. They're going to be off on a boat. They're not going to hear you. Bother us instead. You can also bother us over at bradblog.com, where we've got a chat room open, as we do anytime I sit in to do the show. Over at bradblog.com, go to the top item, click through, you'll find the chat room, join the fun. The lovely Desi Doyen is in there as always moderating, and a lot of folks are already piling in. A lively night. So we will be covering, as I say, the latest in Egypt to that end, and on what troubles me a lot about this is the U.S. support of Egypt for nigh on 30 years, a regime that has been torturing their citizens, torturing on behalf of the U.S. via extraordinary rendition. To that end, we're going to be talking at the bottom of the hour with Stephen Zunes, a professor on exactly this topic from the University of San Francisco, and how the U.S. and the Middle East have been, working together to prop up dictators for decade after decade after decade. And gosh, we wonder why people out there hate us. How did that happen? Can't imagine why. Speaking of people hating us, Fox News. Fox News has no clue how to cover this story. It took them days before they even began to report on it at all. And now they have no idea whose side to be on. They want to be on the side of Mubarak because, well, he's been an ally of ours. He's helped us with torturing, and they like that over there. Then again, remember when George Bush pretended to give a damn about democracy? Well, the WMD didn't show up in Iraq, so yeah, we went for democracy. That's what we did. That's why we went in. It was democracy. We hope to spread democracy around the world. Do we? Do we really? Well, I don't know that we do, but I know that Fox doesn't give a damn about democracy. They don't know which side of this thing to be on. They don't know how to cover this story. So to that end, we're going to be speaking a little bit later with Eric Bullard of Media Matters, who's been looking at the Fox coverage. And I'll tell you, one of the things that has struck me about the Fox coverage from the jump is comparing Fox News coverage of Iran a year or so ago, which was, if you watched Fox, a democratic uprising. The citizens are standing up, coming into the streets, uprising for democracy. Meanwhile, Egypt, 2011, chaos, crisis in the street. What will happen next? They have no clue. So the exact same thing, the people rising up, demanding democracy. In one case, it was an uprising. It was a joyous event. And, of course, Barack Obama wasn't doing enough about that, so he needs to be criticized. He's basically doing the same thing now, Barack Obama is, in regard to Egypt, that he was doing in regard to Iran. But now, Fox News, oh, Barack Obama's doing a great job. Perfect. In this crisis. These thugs out in the street. Terrible situation. We must keep the dictator in charge. They are clueless. We're going to talk to Eric. But you knew that. We're going to talk to Eric Bullard about just how clueless they are. And later tonight, excuse me, we will be speaking at least for a bit to our old pal Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. Yes, you heard me right. Skippy the Bush Kangaroo is going to be joining us later to talk about Blog Roll Amnesty Day. We'll explain what the hell that is about. But, man, all right. As I say, we're keeping our eyes on Egypt, and we will give you updates throughout the day. Throughout the night, just before airtime here, I had in my browser window open. Oh, you can also tweet us, by the way, at The Brad Blog. There you go. All bases covered. Chat, tweet, call, you got it. All right. So before I'm going on the air here, I've been keeping this window at the UK Guardian open. Their coverage has been great. A lot of great coverage, actually, of the situation going on in Egypt. It took a while. The best coverage originally, frankly, was on Twitter. Arguably, it still is, because you're getting reports not just live out of Egypt, but links to analysis from all over the world. And, of course, Al Jazeera English has been streaming from the jump. There was a time when they were the only sources of information. Just another reason why Fox News doesn't know what to do with this. At one point, they were the only source of information for us, and they were streaming video live. Today, their bureau in Cairo was burnt down by thugs. This was according to the UK Guardian. Al Jazeera Network has reported that its office in Cairo has been stormed by gangs of thugs. The office has been burned along with the equipment inside. It appears to be the last attempt by the Egyptian regime or its supporters to hinder Al Jazeera's coverage of events in the country. That a statement from AJ earlier today, but I was keeping open the UK Guardian window. They've had a rolling blog on events as they've been happening throughout the day and throughout the night. And just before airtime, I opened the window back up to see what the latest was. And what do you know? The second from the top item, Brad Friedman's Brad Blog reports. And it links over to bradblog.com, a story that I ran late last night that has been getting a lot of traffic all day. I'll be playing it for you after we come back from the break here. But Rush Limbaugh, in case you had any question in your mind, just how reprehensible, just how morally depraved, just how lost, how clueless, how much... It's going to be hard for me to talk about this tonight. I can see that already. Rush Limbaugh is not a good man. And I will be explaining why that is. We're going to take a break here. Do we have time? Okay. We're going to take a quick break here. Come back and I'll play a little bit of what Rush had to say yesterday on his show as journalists were being rounded up. And then later on today, I'm going to play a lot more of this. I'm going to talk a lot more about this. Absolutely appalling. Thanks, Guardian UK, for picking up the story, for covering it. And for all you do, we're going to be covering it right here on the Mike Malloy Show momentarily. As I say, big night. Stay with us. Brad in from Malloy. To the Malloy Show, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, in for Mike Malloy. Just getting this comment from the Twitters, where you can reach us at the BradBlog. N. Maney says, it seems as though Obama and his administration doesn't know what to do with the sitch either. No, they don't. That's what happens when you get in bed with dictators. And that's where we've been for 30 years, and we're going to be talking about that with Stephen Zunes coming up here momentarily. I need to play this just to get this a little bit out of my system for now, but we're going to return again to this later. Rush Limbaugh, as I'm happy to see noted tonight, they're linking to us from the UK Guardian late tonight, story that we ran that Media Matters was able to catch yesterday, and I helped put together some of these pieces. this is unbelievable. So yesterday, as journalists are being rounded up in Cairo, are being yanked out of their hotel rooms, are being threatened with beheadings, you know, as Anderson Cooper is getting punched in the crowd, in the face, to the point where he is, says he is scared to come out of his hotel. We're seeing dozens, scores, and I'll go through some of them later, of journalists who are doing their job, covering what's going on the ground during a revolution with a regime that has spent decades torturing citizens, torturing people in the media. We get reports that the New York Times, two New York Times reporters and others, many others, were rounded up, were detained yesterday on his show. Rush Limbaugh thought, of course, this was hysterical. At least he did for a while. Here was the first report, the first comments that he had about how hysterical it was to see journalists rounded up. This is Rush Limbaugh from yesterday, Thursday morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is being breathlessly reported that the Egyptian army, certainly have you heard this? The Egyptian army is rounding up foreign journalists. I mean, even two New York Times reporters were detained. Now, this is supposed to make us feel what, exactly? How are we supposed to feel? We're supposed to feel outrage over it? I don't feel any outrage over it. We're supposed to feel anger? I don't feel any anger over this. Do we feel happy? Well, do we feel kind of going like, nyeh. I'm sure that your emotions are running the gamut when you hear that two New York Times reporters have been detained, along with their journalists in Egypt. Remember now, we're supporting the people who are doing this.
Yeah, your emotions are running the gamut when you hear that two New York Times reporters have been detained. If you have emotions, you're kind of freaked out about it. You know? And by the way, a journalist from Egypt died today. He was shot. So, you know, dozens and dozens of journalists, and this comes out in the New York Times and other places, and Rush Limbaugh thinks it's hysterical. Oh, the New York Times has been detained. How hysterical. Should I feel angry? I don't feel outraged about it. Why should I feel outraged about it? I think it's great. They're reporters. They're from the New York Times. Who cares what happens to them? While he's sitting there in his Tony mansion down in Palm Beach. Absolutely appalling. Well, things changed. Things changed very quickly for Rush Limbaugh on the very same show. And by the way, CNN played the clip that I just played tonight while we were on the way over to the studio. Glad to hear that. But they didn't play the second part. This was later on in the very same show after Rush had made fun, had laughed at New York Times reporters who had been detained by a torture regime and kept, by the way, overnight. After he heard that, that was hysterical. But then later on, he got some additional news. What happened? What was the news? Well, he heard that the Fox News crew had been beaten and hospitalized. And all of a sudden, Rush changed his tune.
According to Mediaite, Fox News' Greg Polcott and crew have been severely beaten and are now hospitalized in Cairo. Now, we were kidding before about the New York Times, of course. This kind of stuff is terrible. We wouldn't wish this kind of thing even on reporters.
Yeah. Oh. They were just kidding. It was just kidding before. But now, Fox News! Oh, no! Fox News has been severely beaten and hospitalized. Two reporters, Greg Polcott. All of a sudden, Rush gives a damn. In case you didn't realize it, Rush Limbaugh is an appalling human being. And for the record, in just the last year, 79 journalists were killed around the world just doing their job, just trying to tell a story. 849 journalists have been killed since 1992. Isn't that hysterical, Rush? You can get the full story over at bradblog.com. We've got the audio, we got the transcript, and I'll be talking about this more later on in the show. Be appalled. Be very appalled. I am. Big show straight ahead. A lot more. Brad in for Malloy. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy today and all next week. Glad you could join us here. Our numbers, in case you want to use them later on in the show, 877-520-1150. Stop by the chat room, please, at bradblog.com. A lively bunch there, as always. And, of course, you can find us on the Twitters at The Brad Blog. Next hour, we're going to be speaking with Eric Bollert. This hour, momentarily, we're going to go to Stephen Zunes. And I realized I had been pronouncing his name incorrectly. My apologies for that. Because since this thing has broken out, what has been clear is that the U.S. has been sort of caught flat-footed here. And never mind Fox News. We're going to talk about them next hour because they are clueless. They don't know what to do here. Oh, my God. Do we support our dictator friend who tortures his own citizens and on our behalf? Or do we go for this whole democracy thing that we pretend to give a damn about? And arguably, the U.S. pretends to give a damn about democracy. And if you look back at, so many of the problems that we're facing in the U.S. From the Middle East, a lot of it is clearly blowback. blowback from years and years of supporting these dictators and these regimes. And you can go back to, you know, you can tie 9/11, if you will, exactly back, all the way back to Iran in the 50s and the support of the Shah in this country. You know, and certainly in the 70s when Iran took over our embassy and the enmity that continues between our nations. Well, I don't know if a foreign country propped up my own president's regime and that president tortured me for years on end. Maybe I'd be a little angry at that nation as well. Seems to me that's what we're looking at here in Egypt, and the U.S. is at a very critical moment and has an opportunity to play this right or play this wrong. And I think we may be playing it wrong, but I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Let's talk to someone who does. Stephen Zunes joins us from, he's a professor of politics and chair of Middle Eastern Studies at the University of San Francisco. He's also author of Tinderbox, U.S. Middle East Policy and the Roots of Terrorism. Hey, Stephen, thank you for joining us here. My apologies for mispronouncing your name earlier in the show.
No problem. Glad to be on.
Great to have you. Okay. Don't know if you heard my my warm-up there, my throat clearing, if you will. Is this what we're looking at in Egypt? Is this a moment where the U.S. has a choice of who to go with and a choice that may affect us for a very long time in regard to the citizens on the ground in Egypt?
Well, we have a lot of catching up to do. I mean, we've U.S. taxpayers have spent more than $70 billion in the past 30 years in military and economic aid to prop up that regime, mostly military. You know, the if they're finding shotgun shells and tear gas canisters used against pro-democracy demonstrators with Made in USA on it. And the Obama administration was initially pretty slow at coming around to supporting the movement. You may recall when things first started, you know, Clinton and Secretary of State Clinton and Vice President Biden were emphasizing our good relations with the Egyptian Museum.
Yep. But
and asking for a restraint from both sides and
right.
both sides refrain from violence, ignoring the far greater violence of the government. And Biden even declined to refer to Mubarak as a dictator. But since last weekend, I think Obama's finally come around. The president's finally come around to realizing that, you know, it would be pretty bad if we're once again on the wrong side of history here. And he's talking about a transition, and when Mubarak said, "Oh, I just won't seek another term, but I'll stick around mm-hmm. for another 8 or 9 months," they start emphasizing this transition needs to begin now.
Well,
and also, it appears that he's also made it clear that if the army even thinks about a Tiananmen Square type massacre or other mass repression, they can forget about that $1.5 billion dollars of annual military assistance and other support. And while in certain ways it's too little too late, in my view, I think the Egyptians are starting to get the message, and I think it indicates that really, though we may be a superpower, and though Mubarak may be a dictator, real power comes from the people. It's coming from the grassroots, and you know, democracy is going to come to the Middle East, not from U.S. intervention, not from sanctimonious statements from Washington, but from the people themselves.
Yeah, well, it seems like they're starting, you know, they've been changing their position really on a daily basis, and I'm glad you mentioned Biden, who, you know, refused to call Mubarak a dictator just about, you know, 2 weeks after he had no problem, you know, referring to Julian Assange of WikiLeaks as a terrorist, for Christ's sake. But they're changing their position, but I'm still not certain that they get it. We've been hearing about this talk that, of a transitional government trying to strike a deal to bring in Omar Suleiman, who's been newly named as the vice president by Mubarak. This is the guy who was our point man, the CIA's point point man for torture in Egypt. Does this suggest that the Obama administration, and look, I understand, you know, real politic, they've got to tread carefully here. But in pushing for a deal to put Suleiman in charge, does this indicate that they get it? And will the people of Egypt be satisfied even during a transition with a guy like Omar Suleiman?
Well, you know, the good news is that the Obama administration finally realizes that Mubarak needs to go. The bad news is it looks like they want to replace him with another dictator, another general.
Yeah.
And that's not going to go over well on the streets. They want democracy. They don't just want Mubarak to go. Now, I think the Obama administration is hoping that Suleiman will get the message, and he's supposed to be more pragmatic and less stubborn than Mubarak, that he may be willing to oversee a transition to democracy. But, you know, I wouldn't bet on it. I really don't think he's the kind of guy who's going to rise to the occasion. I mean, he might, but I'm pretty dubious.
Well, even if he does he not have a record? Is he not known already by the citizens, by the very people who are out in the street? Is he not known, as their intelligence guy, as their torture guy? I mean,
very, very much so. I mean, he's. And he's not just a guy who oversees the torture. He's a hands-on kind of guy if it's somebody who's important. He is. He's no question. He's pretty ruthless.
Yeah. And so I just don't know how that's gonna go over. And it seems that, you know, this is a moment when Obama could step forward. And again, I'm not trying to be critical of him at this point. I'm happy to be critical of him for. Right now, I'm trying to understand the situation. But it seems to me that this is a moment when, you know, the people of Tahrir Square and of, you know, Cairo and of all of Egypt are looking to the U.S. Isn't this a moment when we could, in essence, make up for so much of what we have done for the past 30 years, Stephen Zunis?
No, I think it really would be important to finally get around to standing up for democracy and human rights. I really agree with what you said at the beginning. Basically, despite what we're told, the people in that part of the world don't hate us because they hate our freedoms. They hate us because our policy in that part of the world has had very little to do with freedom. It's been about supporting dictatorships and occupation armies and the like. I'm as proud of our freedoms, individual liberties, and as any American, but that's unfortunately not what people in that part of the world see. They see Maine, USA, and tear gas canisters and bomb casings. And it's really important that we support democracy. What we're seeing in Egypt right now is what we've seen in countries like Serbia and Poland, East Germany, in Philippines, in Chile, and around the world. These mass people power movements, struggling for democracy. And I don't know why we're not recognizing it for the significance that it is. I mean, 2011 could be in the Middle East what 1989 was in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly feels like that. It certainly feels like it could be. And, you know, of course, even back then in 1989, George Bush Sr. was similarly caught somewhat flat-footed here.
Right.
But I think that, ultimately, they got on the right side of the situation. Give me an idea, and we're speaking with Professor Stephen Zunis of University of San Francisco, author of Tinderbox, U.S. Middle East Policy and the Roots of Terrorism. Stephen, if you could give me an idea, we'll cover this more after the break, but a quick idea. What are we talking about? What was the cooperation with Egypt as far as torture goes, the torture that, and the detention and so forth that the citizens faced for so long? How much did the U.S., I know we supplied a lot of the materials that were used for this by the military, but how much did the U.S. know about this torture? How much did we condone this torture? And how much do the folks on the ground in Egypt see us as complicit with Mubarak and the regime in that sense?
Well, there are two issues here. One was the role of the Egyptian intelligence, and Omar Suleiman in particular, in the Extraordinary Rendition Program, and that is terrorist suspects or those who were believed to be part of extremist organizations that had been engaged in terrorism, that the United States had captured on the battlefield in Afghanistan or kidnapped off the streets of European cities or wherever. that we wanted pretty rough treatment. I mean, even more than waterboarding and what our forces are willing to do themselves in Guantanamo or wherever, people for whom we wanted to get the really rough treatment, mm-hmm. We would send them to various countries where we had friendly dictators, Tunisia, Morocco, but Egypt was the number one destination by far. And from all accounts, we did have CIA people in the room with Suleiman and others while these folks were tortured. And one fellow in particular, had actually given the information we wanted about Al-Qaeda without being tortured initially. Bush administration wanted him to say that this is just before the invasion of Iraq. Mm-hmm. They want him to say that Iraq had helped Al-Qaeda. And he said, and truthfully, that they hadn't. And they tortured him for days and days and days, actually weeks. And finally, he said, okay, they gave us some training in chemical weapons, which wasn't true. He was just saying it to stop the torture. But
right.
Then Colin Powell used it in his UN speech as proof of the Al-Qaeda Iraqi cooperation.
Yeah, and you're talking about Al-Libi there, who he ended up, by the way, supposedly committing suicide in a Libyan prison. And the mainstream corporate media has not even covered that issue.
There's the torture of these terrorism suspects, but then there's also the day-to-day torture of ordinary Egyptians who speak out for their freedom or who in various ways oppose the regime. There's no evidence of direct U.S. or CIA involvement in this, so we're fully aware it went on, and we had no problems with supplying the secret police with various equipment for tracking down and arresting these folks. And there is some evidence. We even provided some equipment that was useful in the torture.
We're speaking with Professor Stephen Zunis, Chair of Middle Eastern Studies at University of San Francisco, author of Tinderbox, U.S. Middle East Policy and the Roots of Terrorism. When I come back, I've got a clip from a doctor at a torture center for victims of torture in Cairo. I'd like to get your thoughts on that, Professor Zunis, and whether the people of Cairo are paying attention to what U.S. is doing. Brad Friedman, in for Malloy. Six gun in my hand, behind a gun. Yeah, we're all along the watchtower tonight, keeping our eyes on Egypt. There were some shots fired, reported as fired earlier in Tahrir Square. We will let you know if the situation develops. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. I'm speaking with Professor Stephen Zunis from University of San Francisco, Chair of Middle Eastern Studies and author of Tinderbox, U.S. Middle East Policy and the Roots of Terrorism. I got it back. We might be able to get a clip here. Dr. Mustafa Hussein was from the Nadim Center for Victims of Torture in Cairo, was interviewed by my colleague Kerry Harrison at LA's Pacifica outlet KPFK this week. Professor, I'd like to get your take. Here's just a clip of it. I may play more later. But here's just a bit of what he had to say as a doctor working in a center for victims of torture in Cairo.
I mean, we're talking about something like more than 50% of the police stations in the country were torched. And loads of other government, police vehicles and so on. This is a very logical response to a police state that used torture systematically against everyone. They didn't only use it just for intelligence or information gathering, but also for intimidation, to silence people, to silence activists, Islamists. To silence anyone who would talk, but that's not only it. They used it against normal citizens who are just going on with their lives normally. If you're underneath the age of 40 and you live in a poor neighborhood and you're male, then there's a chance that the police will round you up, beat you up, simply totally disregard your human rights.
Okay, well, you get the idea there. Professor Zunis, that was Dr. Mustafa Hussein of the Nadim Center for Victims of Torture. This is what it seems to me that the people on the ground are certainly reacting to in part. How much do you think the people of Egypt, setting aside other Middle Eastern countries for a moment, how much of that do they look at and directly tie it to the U.S., in supporting the regime that did this, and do they hold it against us?
Well, I think most of the blame, of course, goes to the Egyptian government itself, but they certainly see the United States as an enabler, and there is certainly resentment of that, as they are in quite a few other countries. I mean, the good thing, of course, is that in many ways this parallel the situation in Iran, where we supported the Shah all those years, and as dreaded secret police, the SAVAK, the cooperation with U.S. intelligence was even closer there. The U.S. culpability in the torture was even more clear-cut. And the anti-Americanism was even stronger. Thankfully, in this case, the demonstrations are led by these more secular young people who are dedicated to a genuine democracy. The Islamists in Egypt are much more moderate, and they don't have as much support. So if we do have a democratic government in Egypt, it will not be fanatically anti-American like Iran. They have a much stronger civil society and the like, which is good. But at the same time, they're clearly not happy. They're definitely going to be taking a more independent foreign policy. We will have a lot more disagreements with the democratic Egyptian government than we will the current authoritarian one. I think in the long term it's better for our security, frankly, because the more people have democratic means of addressing their grievances and they can work within the system nonviolently, the less prone they are to support extremists and terrorists. So
well,
this idea, Fox News has been saying that they're going to turn to be this fanatically Muslim fundamentalist regime is all rather silly. But I think your main point that our policy of supporting the dictators have hurt our standing in Egypt and elsewhere is very well taken and a real tragedy.
Well, I ain't a professor of Middle Eastern studies, but it seems pretty obvious to me, and I just can't figure out why it's not more obvious to our administration, at one administration after another at this point. Professor Stephen Zunis, thank you very much for your time. We may call on you again next week as the situation develops. You can get more information at stephenzunis.com. That's Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Z-U-N-E-S.com. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure.
All right. More, much more, straight ahead. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Eric Bullard will be talking with us next about, yes, Fox News and their failure on Egypt. Stay with us. Welcome back, Truth Seekers, to the Mike Malloy Show. 6 minutes after the hour here in Los Angeles, and it's 5 a.m. The sun will soon be rising in Cairo over Tahrir Square, where there were reports within the last hour of shots being fired. We haven't heard anything since then. We are keeping our eyes on it, however. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow. Glad you could join us here tonight. I'm in for Malloy. This was his day of departure, if not Hosni Mubarak's just yet. But Mike and Kathy are heading out on a progressive cruise with a bunch of our pals. He'll be gone all next week, so I will be sitting in and broadcasting from the left coast for you. Glad you could join us, and please stop by the chat room at bradblog.com, where we have our usual lively bunch in there. So everyone's on board. We're keeping our eye on Egypt. I'm going to have a little bit more to say about Rush Limbaugh in this hour, if you didn't hear the clip we played last hour. But first, I'm going to go to Eric Bullard here in a second, because I have been struck ever since the uprising began in Egypt. I've been struck between the difference in the way Fox News covered the Iran uprising a year or so ago and the way they're covering the Egypt uprising. The Iran uprising, of course, was a democratic uprising. The citizens are rising up above their ruthless dictator ruler. In the meantime, in Egypt 2011, Fox News doesn't seem to know what the hell to do with the story. It's not a democratic citizen uprising. It's crisis. It's chaos. What will happen next? It's been absolutely striking and remarkable to watch. So I was happy to see when Eric Bullard over at Media Matters for America, the senior fellow over there, wrote an article this week called 10 Reasons Fox News Doesn't Really Care About the Egypt Story. Eric joins us right now. Hey, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Eric.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for staying up late out there. I know you're on kid duty tonight, so I double appreciate it. Eric, okay, top 10 reasons, or the 10 reasons Fox News doesn't really care about the Egypt story. Before we get into the specifics of those reasons, is it that they don't really care, or is it that they don't know what the hell to choose between? Choose between the torture guy who has been our friend, or the democracy that they have been pretending to give a damn about for all of these last 10 years or so.
You know, it's interesting you bring up the comparison between the Iran coverage and the Egypt coverage, because you're absolutely right. I mean, they are similar. I mean, they are uprisings of people looking for democracy, mm-hmm. looking for reform, looking for all the things that most people want over there, some sort of transparency.
And most of the things that we at least pretend, yeah, our administration and then Fox News want over there.
But this is not. But this is being covered much differently. They don't know what to do with it because there's so many reasons. But A, they can't blame Obama in any kind of coherent way. Obviously, Glenn Beck has spent the week blaming Obama and weaving this wonderful conspiracy tale that we'll probably talk about. But more importantly, they don't know what to do with a story that features Arabs and Muslims who can't be painted as terrorists, who aren't setting off bombs and killing people. Mm-hmm. That is the preferred narrative. When Fox ventures to cover news outside partisan American politics, if they're going to travel a third of the way around the world, when they get there better be some Arab and Muslims killing people. Otherwise, it's just not worth their time. So here's this courageous presentation, again, of people seeking democracy, taking to the streets, risking their lives for transparency and an open government. And Fox News doesn't know what to do with that story, and they're certainly not going to embrace it. They're not going to champion it. Instead, it took them four or five or six days, but they have come up with a fear-monger angle, which is the Muslim Brotherhood, which is this is all a disaster, and that it's going to lead to extreme Islamists taking over that region of the world. But it really is amazing, and what's amazing is how you could tell that Fox News just didn't really have its heart in it. Mm-hmm. You know, when you watched it for the first few days, it just didn't have that snap, crackle, and pop because there wasn't a gotcha angle to go after Obama.
No, yeah. I mean, they've really had to dig. They're having to dig to turn this Muslim Brotherhood thing into part of the story. And, you know, I spoke with Kirsten Powers last week, the we'll call her the Democrat that they allow on Fox News.
Yeah.
You know, and she actually has family that are Coptic Christians in Egypt. And, you know, she had said that she was not finding anybody saying, oh, the Muslim Brotherhood was behind this. And yet,
of course not.
And yet today she turns around in a column in the New York Post saying that, well, the real fear is that the Muslim Brotherhood will step up. And I mean, these are the kind of scraps, the table scraps that they seem to be reaching for at Fox News. Why is it so difficult for them, even in a situation like this, Eric Bollert, for them to just say, well, look, this is democracy breaking out. We're in favor of democracy.
Right. I mean, if you look at it, yes, there have been, you know, hurdles and violence. And, you know, a nation of 90 million, if it cracks up, it's not going to be a peaceful, predictable situation. But if you take a couple steps back, I mean, this is a pro-democracy, pro-reform, largely secularist movement. There has not been mass violence. The military has not opened fire. I mean, it's really the blueprint is like straight out of what the State Department has been hoping for three decades might happen there, if anything ever happened.
Yes.
But no, but this is just awful. This is just a disaster. Obama's going to lose Egypt, you know, and things like that. But, I mean, the very, very simple explanation is why as to why Fox can't handle this is Fox News isn't a news organization.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
And so they don't know what to do with this. I mean, they're basically just a partisan operation. They're AM talk radio with pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can talk about partisan American politics all the time, and that's what gets their blood boiling. But once they have to step out of that role in any way, provide reporting, provide context, they sort of look around at each other like, now what do we do? And so they don't know what to do. And yes, they have a reporter over there, and he's doing at times a good job. He's been targeted for attack, which is just awful. But in general, there's no context. They don't understand the Arab or Muslim world. They don't want to. They want to vilify it. They don't want to explain it.
No, they don't. And it's remarkable to watch, because you would think, I mean, you know, there's all sorts of stories, and, you know, this is certainly one of those stories where I understand, you know, the real politic involved here, and that the State Department, the Barack Obama, they have to proceed carefully in a situation like this. It's one of those situations where you don't know what to make of it, you know, just yet. Why can't Fox News just report the news? Just as they like to say, we report, you decide. Tell us what's going on.
Right.
It's like if they don't have an opinion on it, they don't want to even report it.
That's right. And in another way, if the Republican National Committee doesn't have an angle on a story, apparently, then neither does Fox News.
Right.
Because Republicans, even those weighing a possible White House one, you know, the responsible ones, minus Newt Gingrich and a couple others, they've basically been laying low. I mean, this is what happens when there is a foreign policy, you know, not a crisis for us, but a crisis for an ally. You know, Republicans don't really have an attack angle. They're waiting for it to unfold. They realize we have a State Department, we have a CIA. But it's interesting, because if the GOP doesn't have an angle on a story, then neither does Fox News. I mean, again, they just sort of look around, and they look to the RNC, and the RNC is sort of shrugging its shoulders, and then Fox News sort of shrugs its shoulders like, okay, now what do we do?
No, I know. It's almost comical comical to watch, quite frankly. And were the situation not so serious and the stakes not so high, it'd be a lot easier to laugh at,
yeah.
Particularly when now they have a news crew that is just coming out of the hospital. And I'm going to talk to you. I got to take a quick break here. Eric Bollert from Media Matters, but I want to find out, has that changed the way they're reporting the story over the last 24 hours or so? Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, speaking with Eric Bollert of Media Matters, their senior fellow over there. A whole lot of broadcast, a whole lot of broadcast straight ahead. Stay with us.
Out here in the fields, I pop for my meals. I get my back into my...
to the Mike Malloy Show. 21 minutes after the hour, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. All night long and all next week long, we're going to get to some of your calls, I hope, later in this hour and in the show. Our numbers are 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. We're speaking with senior fellow at Media Matters for America, Eric Bullard, about Fox News and their, flat-footed would be putting it kindly, they're just mystified and mystifying coverage of Egypt. They don't know whose side to be on the side of the torturing dictator who has been a friend of America for the last 30 years, or on the side of those people who are actually standing up for the thing that Fox News pretended to give a damn about, which was democracy. Eric, and actually, let me just say this. In the next hour, I'm going to play again some of the audio from Rush Limbaugh and his remarkable comments yesterday that Media Matters caught, and that tonight I was delighted to see the UK Guardian had picked up on and was linking over to Brad blog about concerning the rounding up of journalists and the remark that Rush Limbaugh made until he learned that a Fox News reporter had been attacked. Actually, several Fox News reporters, Greg Palcott, had been attacked over there, ended up in the hospital. Eric Bullard, has anything changed in the last 24 hours when it comes to the way that Fox has been regarding this situation and their friends who apparently beat the crap out of a couple of their reporters over the last 24 hours in Egypt?
Well, the amazing thing is you mentioned the Limbaugh comments.
Yeah.
Yesterday he was saying, well, you know, the news is journalists are being beaten in Egypt. You know, am I supposed to feel sorry? I don't feel anything. You know, that to paraphrase, and you know, folks can read it at your blog and they can go to media.
And I'm going to play the audio next. He was talking about the New York Times.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to be outraged? I don't care.
It's just disgraceful, and it really just highlights, you know, the so-called quote-unquote media criticism on the right. All it is just a pure, unadulterated hatred for the free press. They've always hated the free press. Their attempts to critique it is their attempts to shut it down, and sort of cheering or kind of wink and nod or mocking the news that Western American journalists are being beaten in Egypt is just beyond the pale. And then sort of the second disgusting punchline is then he reads that Fox News was also reported, and then he changes his tune. Well, you know, this is a bad thing. You know, this shouldn't be happening. I mean,
and of course, we were just kidding. He said we were just kidding before about New York Times.
Yeah,
that was just a joke.
You know, when he gets caught being himself, he circles back and says, oh, that was being a joke. It wasn't. That's the way he feels about the press. And what's been interesting, you know, here's Rush Limbaugh, essentially the voice of the conservative movement in America, the voice of the GOP. Nobody has said boo about this just rancid remark about how it's okay for Egyptian thugs to start beating American journalists. It's just disgraceful. It's disgusting. And he is just a contemptible person.
And has it changed? I heard from Ellen at NewsHounds yesterday. They watch Fox, so we don't have to. She said that she was watching Hannity, and not a single word about Greg Palcott, their own reporter, being beaten up by the government thugs that Fox News supports. So they haven't changed even since Palcott was hospitalized.
I thought I heard that Shep Smith had reported on it and mentioned it. They, I guarantee you, no one over there has called out Limbaugh and say, and even stuck up for their own guy, and sort of pushing back on him on this idea. It's okay for Egyptian police to go after journalists. They won't go after Limbaugh. Nobody will over there. So I'm not sure. I don't think it's really changed much, you know, for Fox. I don't think it's what's happened is it's just a harder story to cover now, because last week, you know, Anderson Cooper and all these reporters could walk around Cairo and could be videotaped. They can't now. a lot of them are reporting from inside hotel rooms or whatever. So I think Fox is in the same boat as everyone else, is that it's now become a very dangerous place to be. The only difference is Fox is now associated with a movement that thinks it's okay to beat up journalists. and they haven't stood up for their own people.
Proudly, yeah. Listen, Eric, before you go, because I know you're on kid duty tonight, so Eric Bullitt, I do appreciate you hanging with us here. Very quickly, about a year ago this month, I was in a, let's call it a tete-a-tete with the New York Times, trying to get them to retract their false coverage of the James O'Keefe, Andy Breitbart Acorn pimp scam. And I was covering it because I wanted the media to do better next time. I don't give much of a damn about O'Keefe and Breitbart. You were very instrumental in covering that as well, moving that ball forward when nobody else was paying attention. But my hope was that the media would do a better job, would understand that these guys aren't journalists, they're scammers. Now, and I've only got about 30 seconds here, but we're seeing the same scam almost verbatim now happening with Planned Parenthood. Has the media wised up? Are they getting it this time around?
I think the good news is they have. I mean, the first 24 hours, they definitely gave that story oxygen. You know, it was an undercover sting, this obsession with sex trading and this idea that progressives are have this weird desire to get as many people into the sex trade business. I don't know where this fetish comes from, but that's the scenario they keep playing out and wanting to videotape. The press gave that story 24 hours.
Eric, I got
to
run. Eric Bullitt from Media Matters. Thanks, brother. Stir it up. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Keeping our eyes, of course, on Egypt. And I had to ungracefully, if that's a word, cut off. Oh, you took out the music, so I was enjoying it. It's all right. Yeah, you can keep playing a while. I enjoy it. I had to less than gracefully cut off Eric Bullitt there because we had a hard break at the bottom of the hour. Eric, you, of course, can find him over at mediamatters.org. He is their senior fellow, and he was right in the middle of a response to my question about whether the corporate mainstream media is doing a better job right now with the latest scam from James O'Keefe, Andrew Breitbart and company. This one, a video sting, video scam, apparently a highly edited one. Maybe we'll talk about it more next week at Planned Parenthood. This after last year when I and he both sort of took on the corporate media to expose exactly how they had screwed up the Acorn phony pimp story. And I was able to get a retraction from the New York Times, or at least a correction on a bunch of their stories that they misreported on the Acorn thing. So are they doing any better with the Planned Parenthood? Eric said before I had to cut him off that, in fact, at least this time they seem to have waited 24 hours or so before jumping on the bandwagon and, you know, running out with this breathlessly because, as Eric said, they don't want to get suckered again. Well, that's nice. And he says that they, seem to have written a few paragraphs and moved on rather than going into it breathlessly as they did with the Acorn scam. And then, of course, the Shirley Sherrod scam after that, once again, from the discredited, phony, right-wing activist, Andrew Bullitt, I almost said, Andrew Breitbart. So, are they getting better? Maybe a little. We'll see. Our phone numbers, by the way, 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. 1150. I'll try to get to some of your calls shortly, you know, and it's a good segue here, sort of, because, you know, there has been no one more critical of the media than I, than your friendly citizen guest blogger journalist Brad Friedman right here. plenty to complain about, plenty to hold them accountable for, plenty to criticize them for, and criticize we did certainly last year on the Acorn story. And so did, by the way, we're going to have Tom tomorrow on the show next week. Can't wait to talk to him again. He even got in on the Acorn story and, wrote a picture of, drew as one of his panels, the former New York Times public editor, Clark Hoyt, depicted him as a weasel after Hoyt had used some amazing weasel explanations for why the New York Times was standing by their misreporting on the phony pimp incident. So, you know, criticism of the media is one thing. Criticism of the corporate media is one thing, and is certainly deserved, because by and large, they do a crappy job. But there are times when they step forward, and I think they're, you know, they're beginning to do it. Even the American corporate media outlets are beginning to do some real reporting out of Egypt. And it took them a few days, some of them. Al Jazeera English was on it right away. Took some of these other groups quite a while to jump in. Of course, we were talking about Fox News and the trouble they have figuring out how the hell to report this story in the last hour. But you can be critical of the media, you can be critical of the reporters, and still recognize, you know what, they're doing a job. A lot of times, they do it really, really badly. But they are doing a job, and when they go into someplace like Egypt, where there is a full-out revolution on, and, you know, millions of people in the streets, a violent regime facing down those protesters, these journalists are risking their lives. It's not real, real funny, to be frank. And so while it's one thing, you know, to be critical of them, it's another thing to laugh at them, and to laugh at them while they're being rounded up by these thugs. These torturers, these people who have been in the business of torturing and disappearing people for decades. But that's what Rush Limbaugh did yesterday, incredibly enough. This after, as I reported earlier, 79 journalists were killed doing their job, telling a story around the world in just the past year alone. The Committee to Protect Journalists has a database of 849 journalists killed since 1992 doing their job. And yet Rush Limbaugh yesterday thought that it was hysterical. Hysterical because, oh, New York Times reporters were detained and, as we would learn, kept overnight by the Egypt intelligence agency, the Egypt torture agency. He thought it was a riot. Here's what he said yesterday.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is being breathlessly reported that the Egyptian army, Snerdly, have you heard this? The Egyptian army is rounding up foreign journalists. I mean, even two New York Times reporters were detained. Now, this is supposed to make us feel what, exactly? How are we supposed to feel? We're supposed to feel outrage over it? I don't feel any outrage over it. We're supposed to feel anger? I don't feel any anger over this. Do we feel happy? Well, do we feel...
Do you feel happy?
Kind of going like... I'm sure that your emotions are running the gamut when you hear that two New York Times reporters have been detained along with their journalists in Egypt. Yeah. Remember now, we're supporting the people who are doing this.
Yes, our emotions are running the gamut. Yes, we feel happy. Yes, we feel like going,
Nah.
Yeah, that's exactly what we feel like doing. when these people are risking their lives to inform the nation, to inform the world about what the hell is going on in one of the most crucial turning points in the Middle East that we have seen in decades, perhaps. No, we're not happy. No, it's not funny, Rush Limbaugh. Who made those comments, by the way, across our public airwaves. The people's airwaves, which he is allowed to use to say that kind of crap. To 15 million Americans every day. More Americans listen to Rush Limbaugh in a day than watch all of Fox News primetime lineup at night. So don't downplay the importance of what he has to say. And by the way, if you're wondering what the New York Times, what happened to those reporters, here's what they say. They offer this chilling glimpse of what many Egyptians have been through. They say, we had been detained by Egyptian authorities, handed over to the country to the country's dreaded Mukhabarat, the secret police, and interrogated. They left us all night in a cold room on hard orange plastic stools under fluorescent lights. But our discomfort paled in comparison to the dull wax and the screams of pain by Egyptian people that broke the stillness of the night. In one instance, between the cries of suffering, an officer said in Arabic, quote, "You are talking to journalists? You are talking badly about your country?" As they could hear the wax and the screams of pain from those being tortured in the next room. That's what Rush Limbaugh thought was so hysterical. That's what Rush Limbaugh said about as he sat on his ass in Palm Beach County in his Tony mansion, laughing about these people. That changed yesterday in the very same show. Oh, about, I don't know, an hour or so later, I'm not sure, I think it was the next hour, when Limbaugh got word that two reporters from Fox News, oh no, not reporters from Fox News reporters had been detained, and not just detained, but beaten and hospitalized in Cairo.
According to Mediaite, Fox News' Greg Polcott and crew have been severely beaten and are now hospitalized in Cairo. Now, we were kidding before about the New York Times, of course. This kind of stuff is terrible. We wouldn't wish this kind of thing even on reporters.
Of course you would, Rush. Of course you would. And you did. And you weren't kidding before. You were sending out a very clear message. Reporters from the New York Times are not only not to be respected, we are not to give a damn if they die. They are less than us. They are the other. And we can make of them just what we make of, oh, those, the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslims who want to set up a place of worship in New York City. They must be stopped. Their places of worship must be burned down because they're not like us. Neither are the New York Times. But wait, oh, what? Someone from Fox News has been beaten, bloodied, spent the night in a hospital? Oh, well, we were just kidding about New York Times. We don't even want bad things to happen to reporters. You know, it was Ann Coulter who said that she had wished Timothy McVeigh had walked into the New York Times building in New York, in Times Square, and blown it up instead. That was Ann Coulter's wishes for the New York Times. But of course, she was just kidding, too, wasn't she? She was just kidding, wasn't she, Ann? I'll give you, when we come back, we'll try to get to your calls. And just to give you an idea of some of the some of the incidents, some of the people who are rounded up, some of the reporters, some of the journalists who are rounded up in Egypt over the last 24 hours. Mind you, the amendments don't start with the second one, Rush. There's another one in the Constitution that you pretend to give a damn about. The First Amendment and freedom of the press. Did you read that one or did you skip over that one? Oh, no, you read that one because whenever you were out there, you know, encouraging people to kill other people, you love to quote the first, that's my First Amendment right. I can do whatever I want here, can't I? Over the people's airwaves. If you're fighting for press freedom, if you're fighting for this Constitution, if you're fighting for democracy, and you hear that reporters are being rounded up, detained, and one of them shot, and yes, Al Jazeera's building was burned down in Cairo today, then you don't laugh when they get detained and threatened with beheading, as an ABC News crew was. You don't go... Yeah. Brad in from Molloy, much more straight ahead. Stay with us.
So fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you, people call, say beware, doll, you're bound to fall.
Welcome back to the Mike Molloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike. Our numbers are 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. We're chatting over at bradblog.com, and I can be Twittered at TheBradBlog. It's 52 minutes after the hour, and I'm going to try to get to your calls very shortly. And we're going to talk with Skippy the Bush Kangaroo in the next hour. But just to underscore how repugnant, how disgusting, how horrible this creep Rush Limbaugh is, who thought it was hilarious that New York Times reporters were detained, and he laughed about it on his show. Oh, it's hysterical. Until, of course, he heard that Fox News reporters had been beaten, bloodied, spent the night in the hospital. How bad is it out there? Well, an Egyptian reporter was shot and killed today. And ABC News has put together this extraordinary list from just the past 24 hours, compiled by ABC's Aaron McLaughlin and Joanna Suarez and others. Just an idea of, and I've got four pages of these reporters who have been, yeah, we are taking calls. We can take calls, Des. I'll get to them in a moment, but I want to hit some of these. Just to give you an idea, ABC News international correspondent Christiane Amanpour said Wednesday her car was surrounded by men banging on the sides of windows in the middle of a riot, and a rock was thrown through the windshield, shattering glass on the occupants. They escaped without injuries. Another CNN reporter, Hala Garana, said she was shoved against the fence when demonstrators rode in on horses and camels. She feared she was going to be trampled. A group of angry Egyptian men carjacked an ABC News crew, threatened to behead them on Thursday in the latest and most menacing attack on foreign reporters trying to cover the anti-government uprising. Anderson Cooper said he and a producer were set upon by people who began punching them and trying to break their camera. Cooper and team were targeted again on Thursday. The situation on the ground in Egypt, very tense, Cooper reported. The vehicle he was in was attacked. His window was smashed. Fox Business Network's Ashley Webster reported that security officials burst into a room where he and a camera operator were observing the demonstrations from a balcony. They forced the camera inside the room. He called the situation very unnerving and said via Twitter that he was trying to lay low. Of course, Fox News Channel's foreign correspondent Greg Palcott and producer Olaf Wigg, as we noted, were hospitalized in Cairo after being attacked by protesters. Right. He didn't that. That he was very concerned about. Right, Rush? Fox News reporters got hurt. Meanwhile, CBS newsman Mark Strassman said he and a camera operator were attacked as they attempted to get close to the rock throwing and take pictures. The camera operator who he would not name, was punched repeatedly and hit in the face with mace. CBS News, Laura Logan was detained along with her crew by Egyptian police outside Cairo's Israeli embassy. They were finally released today. I mentioned the two Times reporters who were arrested, who were held overnight by Egypt's torture forces. Of course, Washington Post foreign editor Douglas Jail wrote on Tuesday that witnesses say Lila Fidel, the paper's Cairo bureau chief, and photographer Linda Davidson were among two dozen journalists arrested yesterday morning by the Egyptian military police. I could go on and on and on. I've got four pages of these. The Wall Street Journal, BBC, RT, Russia Today, CBC, the Toronto Globe and Mail, two AP reporters, Voice of America reporters. And yet we hear from jackasses like Rush Limbaugh that, oh, it's a riot because they were reporters from the New York Times. And who, after all, gives a damn about them? Sean Hannity likes to call his callers great Americans. Well, let's just say for now, Rush Limbaugh is no great American. Rush Limbaugh doesn't care about press freedom, the very thing that he has made his fortune on. Because, of course, he's in the game. Anyone else who isn't can go straight to hell. Anyone else who doesn't agree with him can go straight to hell. Hysterical Rush. You're a jerk. Brad, in from Mike Malloy. Your calls and Skippy straight ahead. Welcome back, Truth Seekers, 6 minutes after the hour. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, broadcasting live from the left coast here tonight for one more hour. And I will be with you all next week, as well as the Malloys. Both Mike and Kathy are cruising. Progressive cruising. No, it's not some sexual metaphor. They're actually on a cruise. They're on a boat. They're they will be in the Caribbean over the next week with a bunch of pals of ours. I think Carrie Harrison is going to be on board, and Bobby Kennedy Jr. is going to be on. Bender is going to Hal. That's right. Hal Sparks is going to be on the. So that's why Stephanie didn't want to go, so Hal Sparks is going in instead. Is that how it is? You don't know? All right. All right. Next year, then, I'm going on the cruise, and Malloy is staying in. That's the deal. All right. 877-520-1150. Taking your calls. These are your public airwaves. Use them or lose them. I got a lot ahead that I need to, well, that I hope to get to. But we also got next week to do a lot of it. A lot of great guests we're lining up for next week. So wake the chillin' and don't miss a single jam-packed minute. 877-520-1150. We're going to be joined in a few minutes here by Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. What's a Skippy the Bush Kangaroo, you ask yourself? Well, if you don't know, you'll find out. We'll be discussing Blog Roll Amnesty Day. What's Blog Roll Amnesty Day, you ask yourself? Well, if you don't know, you'll find that out, too. But first, let's go to one of our favorite chatters from the bradblog.com chat room, which we hope you'll stop by. Susan from Santa Cruz joins us. Hey, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Susan.
Hi, but it's not Santa Cruz. It's Squim, Washington.
It's Squim? Really? Seriously?
Yes,
I am
yes.
so firing Desi because she wrote down Santa Cruz.
Oh, do not fire Desi.
Oh, she's finished. She is so fired.
We love her so much.
Okay, all right.
You know, I've been watching this whole uprising in Egypt on Al Jazeera. Most of the coverage I've been watching has been on their show.
Well, it's an uprising in Egypt. If you're watching on Al Jazeera, if you're watching on Fox News, it's crisis. It's chaos.
It's a revolution. And on Al Jazeera.
Oh, okay.
And it's a people's revolution.
Yeah.
And today on Al Jazeera, there was a show that they did where they interviewed several journalists from Al Arabia, mm-hmm. From Al Jazeera, and around the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
Discussing the United States coverage of this whole business in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Not just Egypt, but mm-hmm. but all the stuff that's been going on,
and they have
over.
Been Al Jazeera,
Tunisia and everywhere.
Yeah, and Al Jazeera, by the way, has been indispensable. They have been streaming.
Oh,
they have been going through amazing coverage.
When you
yeah.
turn on CNN, mostly what you see when you see the video, it's almost
yep.
all Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera,
stuff.
Yeah.
But they cut out the commentary and add their own.
Right.
What struck me was the way they are characterizing American television. I don't think Americans realize how closely news organizations in other countries
yeah.
cover the way we look at them,
mm.
the way we look at other countries. I've done a lot of traveling, and I know you probably have too, but most people don't realize how interested in what we say
mm-hmm.
they are. And how we say it and how it reverberates around the world. When you get on a station like CNN or Fox that broadcasts their stuff all over the world on satellite,
yep.
how people listen and pay attention. Fox is not laughed at in other countries the way we laugh at Fox. We don't even consider it news.
What do they, if they don't laugh
they
at it?
They consider it like a serious news station.
And they
everything Fox says yeah. they think is U.S. policy.
Yeah, and they, exactly. And they think
they were
that
quoting Glenn Beck.
Yep.
They were quoting O'Reilly because Fox has a lot more, is a very powerful group of television stations
yep.
that is broadcast worldwide, all their sports, all everything.
No, and listen, it's damn dangerous. And the message that they are sending out is, you know, it's no accident.
What they picked up on the most?
What's that?
What they picked up on the most is that Americans are running around with their hair on fire, believing that radical Islamists, quote unquote, Glenn
mm-hmm.
Beck, radical Islamists are going to take over Egypt, Tunisia, and the entire Middle East,
right.
and we are doomed.
Yeah.
And they picked up on all of the stuff that Beck was saying and O'Reilly
yep.
because they are the loudest. Then they dovetailed it in with CNN constantly broadcasting what that idiot John McCain
yeah.
kept saying about the same thing. He was echoing Fox, saying, and here is a United States senator saying everybody should be really worried. Well, now Jazeera covers everything, and they covered
yep.
John Kerry, and they covered a lot of stuff. But all the reporters from all these Arabic stations were very concerned that the United States is taking a very wrong look at
at what is going on out there.
Muslim Brotherhood is a very small group of people. It's only got about 100,000 in the whole country. Nobody in Egypt pays much attention to them. They have very few members in a country of 80 million people.
And yet that's the drum that they're beating on Fox
that's
News.
The drum
and
that Fox
yeah.
is beating, and so, nobody can understand it. They don't understand why the Americans don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And the reason Americans don't know what's going on is because we've got these two or three loud stations that are all owned by the same corporation
yep.
that have another axe to grind.
Susan?
They have a reason for stating, for trying to scare Americans into being afraid of radical Islam. They want to take over the all oil production in the Middle East.
Oh, yes, they do. Keep them scared. It's the best way to do it.
Canal.
Susan, I got to run. I got to move along. You're the best. And
Brad.
Thank
Keep
you.
Keep it up. We'll talk. I'm looking forward to next week.
And my best to all the good folks of Squim. Thanks, Susan. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye,
yeah, the message is quite clear, you know, and it is going out around the world. And, you know, this is what I hear. This is why it matters. This is why it matters. And cable news is one thing, but our public airwaves are quite another. And when Rush Limbaugh goes out around the country selling his crap and around the world, because he is on Armed Forces Radio. So, of course, he is, the voice of America, Rush Limbaugh. And this kind of crap that he says. I think we got somebody here who wants to defend Rush. So we're going to get to him in a moment. Hang on the line there. But let me, Freddie has been holding on a really long time. And I really appreciate it up in Northern Virginia. Hey, Freddie, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. I'm Brad.
Hey,
what's
Brad.
Up?
Hey, Brad. Thank you for answering my phone call.
You bet. Thanks for hanging on so long. What's on your mind?
No problem. Hey, I wanted to get your opinion. I was listening to the conversation you had with a gentleman from Media Matters concerning Fox News angle of what's going on in Egypt versus what you both were talking about. I understand you both were talking about just that it's a pro-democracy, pro-reform change. Isn't that right? That's what the movement really, what that movement is?
Well, obviously, it's a democratic uprising, yeah.
Okay. Now, change to what?
To democracy?
From my understanding.
Hang on, let me answer it. From a dictatorship, which is what they have now and have had for 30 years, to a democracy where they, you know, vote on who is in charge and stuff like that.
Okay. From a dictator to another type of governing.
Democracy.
The Marcus, Nazi Germany was a democracy at one point as well.
Until they weren't. Until they weren't, but yes, okay.
Until they weren't, yeah, exactly. That's how you do it. You
right.
You say you're one way, then you do another. But my question is, another thing is, the uprising.
I got to get to a break, Freddie. What is your question?
I just like to know when you say that Fox News analysis of this is that the Brotherhood has taken the reins. Why do you not believe that is a possibility? And so I just listened to the
good. Let me answer your question, Freddie, because I got to get to a break. But sure, anything is a possibility, but that's democracy. That's democracy. And if you're in favor of democracy, then you're in favor of democracy. Do risks come with democracy? They absolutely do. Is there a reason to believe that the Muslim Brotherhood is going to take over? We have seen no evidence of that. As a matter of fact, the evidence seems to be quite the contrary, that they are not behind this this democratic uprising that's happening. This is the people. This is the people stepping forward. And yes, the people, allowing self-governance. Wasn't it Ronald Reagan who used to say that, I trust the people more than I trust the government? Okay, right-wingers, here's your test. The people are stepping forward. Do you trust them? Do you trust them to control their own destiny? Or do you want to control it? With your dictators, your torture, and what turns into blowback that we pay for years. Brad, in from Malloy. Stay with us.
And something keeps him going miles and miles away to find another place. Together we'll stand, divided. Ball and work together.
let's work together. Well done, Tony. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. No flying monkeys. Promise. But we will get to James in Needles, Arizona, who I think wants to defend Rush Limbaugh. But first, before we do, so hang on there, James. I will get to you. And anyone else who wants to get in, 877-520-1150. Before we do, however, I want to check in very quickly with my pal, Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. Who? Skippy the Bush Kangaroo, of course, otherwise now known as Gil Christner. He joins us to talk about Blog Roll Amnesty Day. Hey, Skippy, how are you, brother?
Brad, it's so nice to be here. It's great to be on the Mike Malloy Show. I've been a fan for years, and of course, I've been a big, big fan of the Brad blog for even longer.
You're very kind, and of course, I'm a fan of your blog, Skippy the Bush Kangaroo, which apparently has actually nothing to do with George W. Bush, right?
No, I picked the name even before Bush was even a gleam in his father's eye.
Well, really? That long ago? You've been blogging a long time. How long?
I just knew blogs were going to happen. This is, you know, 30 years before the internet, I just had this feeling.
You are a genius. How did you, and when did you start Skippy the Bush Kangaroo,
actually,
the blog?
I'm one of the longest extant blogs still working, 2002,
Ooh.
And I'm proud to say that my blog was the first blog to be challenged, I guess, on the air by Kira Phillips of CNN. It was the first blog mentioned by CNN on the air.
Nicely done, sir. So 2002, we just last week we celebrated Brad Blog's 7th birthday, and I thought I was exhausted. So you're like 9 years doing this crap.
It's coming up on it. Yep.
Brother. Yep. All right. Well, what the hell is Blog Roll Amnesty Day? And this is, I think, the fourth year in a row for it, is it?
It is the fourth year. Thanks for asking. Blog
yes.
Roll Amnesty Day, in a nutshell, which is where I keep all of my information, is the annual holiday during which we encourage everyone who has a blog to link to smaller blogs or blogs with less traffic than theirs. And by doing this, they will encourage their readers to find new voices, new interesting points of view, and hopefully they will help encourage the lesser blogs or the smaller blogs, if you will, even if you won't.
Yes, not the lesser blogs. Yeah.
To find some more exposure. And it's just kind of a way of, as my good blog pal Blue Gal says, spread the linky love.
Oh,
spread it around.
And we love Blue Gal, and we love lifting up the other blogs, because all the big ones get all the noise, and they don't necessarily always deserve it. Now, you actually started Blog Roll Amnesty Day about 4 years ago with someone once known as John Swift. In a minute or so, give us an idea who John Swift is.
Yeah, John Swift. Actually, he was a journalist. His real name was Al Weisel, and he operated out of New York. He was, among other things, a music journalist. He interviewed such diverse people as Johnny Cash and Vanessa Williams and, my words fail me now, which is odd because I'm a writer, but a lot of different people. He was...
well, you've been at it for 9 years. You're exhausted.
Yeah, he was. Oh, thank you. Yeah. So am I. So am I. Thank you. But Al wrote under the pseudonym of John Swift. He wrote as a conservative, but he was actually doing a very astute satire. He was actually a liberal writing as a conservative. He in fact, was doing Colbert before Colbert started doing it on the air. He was so good at it that a lot of conservative bloggers actually thought he was a conservative.
And they linked over to him in support of what he had to say about this or that?
Yes, even though he would take their position to such, well, he didn't have to take them to such an extreme, but he would mock their positions, but doing in such flowery, flowing language that they thought he was supporting them when he was actually making fun of them.
And unfortunately, we lost Al about a year ago now, right?
It was actually a year ago next month. So poor Al, he was only 46, and he suffered an aortic rupture driving one day. And actually, none of us knew that he was Al Weisel until his mother went onto his blog and gave us the sad news. And we miss him very, very much. And Al, a.k.a. John Swift, was the motivating factor behind Blog Roll Amnesty Day 4 years ago, thinking that because the big blogs wouldn't bother to link to everybody, it's up to the smaller blogs, the medium-sized blogs, the boutique blogs, if you will, to support each other, and we're all into this together, as someone once said.
Thank you, brother, and keep it up for keeping the tradition going. Skippy the Bush Kangaroo, you can find him at xnerg.blogspot.com. Thanks, Gil. Appreciate it, brother.
Hey, thanks a lot, Brad. If I can just say...
Hang on.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah, we're looking what's going down. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, coming into the home stretch here. Glad you could join us tonight. And I'm going to get to your calls, 877-520-1150. But as I had to cut Skippy off, Skippy the Bush Kangaroo, off at the very end, he wanted to say...
Thank you very much, Brad. Just want to say, to find my blog, Google Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. I'm the second link under Wikipedia, and if you've ever been under Wikipedia, you know how painful that can be.
Kaboom! All right. Well done.
Thanks,
Skippy.
A lot, Brad.
Hey, happy Blog Roll Amnesty Day, my friend. Really
back
great.
At ya.
Thanks for joining us. All right. We'll talk to you later.
Later.
All right. Do I do this right? There we go. Very good. Okay. Well, let me get to get some of these phones. I promised James in Needles, who I suspect wants to talk about Rush Limbaugh, making fun of the fact that... New York Times journalists were being detained overnight. Other journalists, ABC, threatened with beheadings. Rush, of course, made a joke out of it, thought it was hysterical, said he wasn't unhappy about it at all. And he even said, what did he have to say there? Yeah, that's what he heard when they were detained in Germany. Where are we? In Egypt. He thought it was hysterical until he heard that Fox News had been also detained and beaten and bloodied and sent to a hospital overnight. So, James, in Needles, Arizona, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind?
Okay. It's actually Mojave Valley, Arizona, and I'm right outside of Needles. Well, I know Rush was making fun of it when he mentioned the word journalist, mainly because... He looks at it like it's not journalism because of the Jason Blair incident. And then the New York Times stated they wouldn't print some stuff because of privacy concern in the WikiLeaks Julian Assange matter. But they actually printed information that was detrimental to the U.S. foreign policy and
really?
The war efforts.
Really? Like
yes.
What? Like what?
Well, it was back in 2006, I believe.
What was detrimental to the war policy, James?
What was detrimental?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you print U.S. secrets, and then they also printed how the U.S. was getting financial information on. Mm-hmm. On terrorists.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with WikiLeaks. Now, Geraldo Rivera...
Hang on.
Let me respond. Geraldo Rivera on Fox News was actually kicked out of Iraq because he was disclosing a movement of troops. So, should Rush Limbaugh make fun of the fact that Fox News reporters were bloodied and sent to the hospital last night because of it?
No, he should make fun of either one. When I heard Anderson Cooper,
then why are you apologizing for what Rush said, which was reprehensible, abhorrent, and should be condemned? Why are you making excuses for it, James?
Because when he said New York Times journalist, I knew exactly what he meant because he doesn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
That they are journalists because they will only print what they see fit to print instead of printing the both sides of the story.
The way Fox News prints both sides of the story, the way Rush Limbaugh prints both sides of the story, and they deserve to die. The way Rush gives both sides of the story, the way he makes things up out of whole cloth. That's what you mean?
Wait a minute. I've been listening to Rush for 18 years, and the reason why I started listening,
you don't say, yeah,
was because. They said he was prejudiced. I'm a black man.
Uh-huh.
And they said he was prejudiced.
Okay.
So I began to listen to him to find the prejudice. They said that he was prejudiced.
Okay.
I'd never found it.
All right.
And I've been listening to him for 18 years.
Have you heard him lie to you? Have you heard him tell you that that Barack Obama hates America? Have you heard him make things up out of whole cloth? Have you heard him make fun of journalists being held, being threatened with beheading? Have you heard all of that?
No.
You haven't heard that?
He was making fun that they claimed to be New York Times journalists.
Hysterical.
And he was making
I know.
Fun of the fact that they haven't been really journalists.
Hysterical. Thanks, James. I appreciate the call. Hysterical. What is there anything funnier than making fun of the New York Times pretending that they're journalists? I guess, maybe James didn't hear what I talked about in the last hour, how I spent a good portion of last year, 6 months, going up against the New York Times, going up against the very top of the New York Times, Bill Keller and Clark Hoyt, their public editor, because they misreported the fake Acorn Pimp story over and over and over and over. They just got the story wrong, and when I called them on it, they justified getting it wrong. They didn't apologize. They rationalized why it wasn't wrong at all. Eventually, I had to stay on them for so damn long after a four-decade-old community organization fighting for minority rights, fighting for democracy, fighting for voting rights, was shut down because of the lie told by Rush Limbaugh, Andrew Breitbart, James O'Keefe, Fox News, and yes, New York Times. This organization fighting for you, sir, fighting for pro-democracy, fighting against poverty, was shut down by a lie that was forwarded by the New York Times. It was reprehensible what the New York Times did. It was inexcusable how difficult it was for me to get them to correct their reporting, which they finally did, partially. You can look it up. But would I ever laugh at them being held hostage, being yanked out of their hotel rooms, being threatened with death? A journalist was shot yesterday. 72 were shot. 79 were killed. 79 journalists over the last year. Is that funny? Is that funny to you, James? If Rush Limbaugh is taken out of his mansion because he lies. So if he's taken out of his mansion in Palm Beach and if he's threatened with beheading, is that something we should laugh about? Is that something that I should say? That I should say?
Yeah.
There you go. Is that what I should do next time he is threatened by thugs, by torturers, by a 30-year dictatorial regime? You find that funny, James? You find that something to excuse, something to apologize for? You have been listening to Rush Limbaugh for 18 years, haven't you? Because in the process, you have lost your moral compass. You have lost your soul, apparently, that you would laugh at something like that. Let's see if Ron does any better. He's also in Arizona. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Ron. What's on your mind, sir?
Yeah, I think I'll do a little better than that guy. before I make my comment about Rush Limbaugh, I want to say that I have several friends who listen to him and the media terrorists of Fox news, including a very close friend and my parents.
Did you? By the way, I listen to Rush, too. Did you call them media terrorists?
Yeah, that's what they are, media terrorists.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that the people who listen to all of the Fox News, media terrorist gang, Rush Bimbo, all the neocons, including Liddy, and, you know, you could go on naming them for hours.
Mm-hmm.
They get exactly what they deserve, to live in a state of total ignorance until death.
Well, listen, what they... No, they don't get what they deserve. Instead, what they get is millions and millions and millions of dollars for misleading the nation, for running the nation down through, you know, into the toilet, for watching thousands of Americans being killed because of the lies that they tell. And the support that they get, the virus that they're able to spread across our public airwaves. That's not what they deserve, not what they deserve at all. And until they are called out, until they are removed from the public airwaves, or at least are forced to, have a conversation with people who disagree with them, until then, we're in trouble.
Talking about the people who listen to the media terrorists.
Oh, those people,
the listeners,
they don't deserve
exactly
it either. They don't deserve it either, Ron. They really don't. They really don't. But because these guys have so misinformed them, because no other voices are heard, because they don't bring on, people like I just did, you know, to give their point of view. Because of that, those people are forced to live in a hell of Rush Limbaugh's own making. I appreciate the call, yeah. Ron. Thanks, brother. Hang in there. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. We've got a few lines still open here. If you'd like to get in before we have to end it for the night. God, the hours, 3 hours have gone fast. Jerry in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Rush Limbaugh and all the other Nazi people. I don't know what's happened to this country. This country is, you know, back from when I was young, people stood up and said what was right, and now everybody just sits back and doesn't do too much of anything. Rush Limbaugh the other day, you know, was talking about the First Amendment. Well, if I'm correct, didn't Thurgood Marshall say that on the First Amendment that you have the right to free speech, but you don't have the right to say fire in a theater?
Well, of course. And as we saw from his behavior, from Limbaugh's behavior, making light of journalists being shot, killed, beheaded, held hostage, pulled out of their hotel rooms until it was a Fox News reporter who, God forbid, had been beaten and hospitalized. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about freedom of the press. He doesn't care about press freedoms. He cares about his own freedom to say whatever the hell he wants and to shut up everybody else. That's what he cares about, period. He doesn't care about press freedom, Jerry.
Well, I'd like to know where Rush Limbaugh was during Vietnam, the little chicken hawk. And all the rest of them, Cheney, Wolfowitz, all these people that have caused so much trouble in this country, went to a war that we should never have been in. The lies and the repeated lies. And then, you know, we have the teabaggers with Michelle Bachmann and all these Sarah Palin that don't know basic history and government that they teach in eighth grade.
Hey, Jerry, these guys love war, but only when you have to go fight it.
That's right.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it, man. Stay warm up there in South Dakota. All right. 877-520-1150. Back with as many of your calls as we can get in our final segment. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Please, please stay with us.
All right. There's something wrong with this plot.
Okay.
by way of special request from our friend Bill Wrightsman over in the bradblog.com chat room. If you missed any portion of tonight's show, we'll have it up for you late night tonight at bradblog.com, or hopefully you are supporting independent media by being a subscriber to the Molloy Show podcast. We'll also have it up there later on tonight. My thanks to the great engineer Tony Sorrentino here at K-Talk. Thank you, Tony. Don't be nodding your head. Great job tonight, sir. Producer and call screener and chat room babe, Desi Doyen, tonight. Thanks, Des. And let's see. Oh, Ben Birch, of course, over at White Rose. Thanks for taking extraordinary measures to get us up and rolling on the White Rose stream today and hopefully all of next week. And also, my thanks to my guest, Professor Stephen Zunis from San Francisco University, Eric Bullard of Media Matters, and, of course, Skippy, the Bush Kangaroo. And my thanks to you, the listeners, for listening in. All right, let's see if we can run through these lines. Have your questions or comments ready, because we're going to try to get in everybody if we can. Nelson from Lake County. By the way, for those listening on MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid. Okay, Nelson, Lake County, California. Welcome to the show, sir. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Good evening. Yes, you had a black caller who said that in the 18 years of listening to Russ, he'd never heard him make a racist comment. And I just wanted to remind that caller of Russ's short stint with Monday Night Football. He was kicked off for making a racist remark the one night he was on. And what he said was that Donovan McNabb, who's the quarterback, was then the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, was really a mediocre quarterback, and the liberal press wanted to see a black quarterback succeed, so they pumped him up, and McNabb was really just an average quarterback. And then Russ Limbaugh was thrown off the air. I mean, I don't see how he could forget that racist remark that Russ Limbaugh made.
Yeah, and I don't think how he could forget the racist Chinese gibberish rant that he went on about a week ago, which, by the way, has resulted in death threats against a Chinese-American out here in California who stood up and said that that was inappropriate, what Rush did. And the thanks that this guy has gotten, this state senator, I believe, is death threats faxed to him, nooses, and all kinds of racial epithets sent his way. So I appreciate the reminder, Nelson. You're absolutely right.
If I could make one more comment, reminded me of something. I tried a little bit to listen to some of the right-wing radio. I thought I should know what the other side's thinking, and maybe I should give it a fair turn. So I listened to a little Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
And this man has got a hate campaign against a 78-year-old woman, Professor Emeritus, Frances Fox Piven.
Yep.
And she read on a show I heard the other night the hate mail that was inspired by Beck's rantings. And, I mean, this frail woman is getting these letters, we'll kill you, we'll kill your family.
We're going to be
one letter after another. And then you hear some people say, well, it's harmless, this kind of hate speech.
Yeah.
No, it's not harmless.
No.
It's getting people killed.
It is getting people killed. People have been killed by this stuff, and you're absolutely right. We're going to talk about that and Frances Fox Piven and Beck targeting her next week. Nelson, I got to run. Thanks. I do appreciate
your
calls.
Thank you for being there. I love your show. You're great.
Thank you, brother. Really appreciate it. Let me see if I have time for Steven in Burbank. Steven, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. I don't have enough time for you, but what's up, brother?
No time for the niceties, Brad.
I'm sorry.
The new definition of liberal propaganda is factual journalism and unvarnished history. And always remember this, the truth is always biased in favor of the truth.
Yeah.
Simple.
You're absolutely right. Thanks, Stephen. I appreciate the call, brother. All right, let me see if I can get to Sebastian really quickly here. Can you be as fast as Stephen? What's up, Sebastian?
I can be real fast. I do listen to Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage, and why I listen to them is when I'm cleaning my house, they make me so angry that I'm able to clean my house three times as fast.
Sebastian, I appreciate that, brother. Always finding the upside. That's exactly what you got to do. Whatever needs to be done, find the upside, stay positive, keep up the fight. We'll get through these dark times, and we'll get through them together. Hey, thanks for tuning in tonight, guys. Delighted to be here. My great thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to sit in. I will be in for them all next week while they're out cruising the Caribbean. I hope you will join me as well. We'll have the archives up tonight, but until next Monday, I'll see you at the Brad Blog, bradblog.com. Good night, America. Keep it lit.